Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back, Crack fans, to another edition of the Cracked Interviews podcast. I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. Our Cracked Rackets team is so grateful for the many opportunities we have received throughout the tennis world. Of course, it starts with a chance to provide all of you tennis fans with the sort of information we know you deserve, covering the results day in, day out, not just at the professional level, but of course at the collegiate level, the junior level as well. Of course, we are always immensely flattered to receive the opportunity to host events for aspiring tennis players across the country as well, whether that be aspiring juniors or current collegiate athletes. We've even had the opportunity to dabble in the occasional pro event, which we are always immensely grateful for. But perhaps the thing we value most about our Cracked Rackets platform is the opportunity to shine a light on the many unsung heroes found throughout the tennis world. That is precisely what we are doing on today's podcast, as we had the incredible opportunity to participate in the retirement ceremony for former Valparaiso men's and women's head tennis coach Jim Doherty. Coach Doherty spent 35 years as the head men's coach over at Valpo. It was a career that saw him win well over 300 victories, multiple championships, receive multiple awards for his program as well. It was such an incredible chance for us to not only get the opportunity to interact with so many different generations of former collegiate athletes, but just to see how valuable one head coach, one person can be in the lives of so many different tennis players. It was a fantastic weekend, a weekend we have documented on our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel. If you would like to learn more about the ceremony, you can hop over there to see what the weekend's how the weekend's festivities transpired. But again, it was just a huge honor for us to be asked to help honor Coach Doherty, who really, again, has done so much, not only on the court, but of course off the court as well. His influence will last forever, perhaps even longer than what he actually accomplished on the tennis court. And on today's show, you're going to hear my conversation with Coach Doherty. Of course, he takes us back to the beginning. We talk about how he got into the college tennis coaching ranks and what he learned throughout his 35-year journey, the highs, the lows. Of course, we had to talk about some of the tennis highlights as well, and just what it takes to build a program like he did at Valpo, essentially from scratch. It's a fantastic conversation that I know all of you listeners are going to enjoy. And before we get to it, I have to give a huge shout out to Baylor men's tennis head coach Michael Woodson, who was critical in helping to organize these events. He wasn't the only one as well, and believe me, you know I never love giving credit to Coach Woodson, but again, he was the one that sort of took the impetus, we're gonna cut that shit.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome in, Cracked fans. We are live on the campus of Valparaiso University to celebrate the career of former men's tennis coach, the man joining me in the booth today, Jim Doherty. Coach, welcome to our Cracked Interviews podcast. Thank you for having us here this weekend. Has to be a surreal weekend to get all of your former players in, the celebration. It has to be enjoyable.
It's unreal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't believe this is happening after 2 years and like seclusion for all of us, really. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to happen. And that would have been fine with me. I had a wonderful career here. Very happy, in retirement and fulfilled in life. But, you know, after the reception last night, it really hit me that, wow, there's a lot of love here, a lot of happy people, at least now. You know, there wasn't always, you know, smooth sailing. But so, yeah, this is surreal. I mean, you know, the numbers, the love, just, and great to see everyone having fun.
And I think something that our listeners may not know, and again, if for those who don't know much about the Valparaiso program, you guys have switched conferences a couple of times, and unfortunately after the 2020 season, men's tennis was discontinued at the school moving forward. That said, talking to all of the guys here on site today, they talk about this alumni event not just being a one-off, that this was something you tried to do every year ahead of the program. You know, obviously it seems pretty clear what the purpose would be, but why? Why bring back the alumni, and have you seen that decision, I mean, manifest itself in the relationships? To me, it seems like, yes, we have a very tight-knit program.
Well,
simple questions here for you, Coach.
Yeah, I mean, no, that's a no-brainer. I mean, it's my favorite weekend. I mean, I could talk about tournaments, matches. Alumni homecoming weekend is my favorite weekend, and that's because we bring back and all the players. You know, some can make it some years, some other years, and but it's just the most beautiful event that I could imagine. And yeah, I think that's why you see all the camaraderie out here. I just want them to have fun. You know, if they get a chance and they want to celebrate with me or celebrate me, it's not about that, but we're all celebrating each other. And the cool thing, too, is a lot of them that didn't play with each other got to meet and our friends now, you know, that didn't play together. And so seeing those connections and the fun they're having out here means the world. I just revel in it.
Do you think Shorsh could walk into college tennis right now and still go undefeated and not drop another set in Horizon League play or whatever it may be? I watched Jeff today, and I'm like, oh, my God, is he good?
You know, Jeffrey will always have game. What can you say? You know, if I were to come back and play, I don't think he'd beat me, but you know, I can talk.
Me too, Coach.
But, yeah, no, and he's like, you know, I'm surprised, Coach. I haven't played forever, but I came back, and that inside-out forehand of his will never leave him. He owns that, you know. It's patented. So, you know, but he was always a team player. There's a lot of things about Jeffrey people don't know, and he reveled in the team atmosphere, even though he did remarkable things and set records and all that. He wouldn't have played if it wasn't a team setting. And I think, I hope that's what he said he enjoyed a lot about, you know, maybe there's some, you know, he talked about how bad of a decision it was for him to come here. I hope not, you know, but anyway, yeah, he's a remarkable person and player.
No, it's been so fun to watch him. It's been so fun to get to chat with all of the guys. And, you know, the word we routinely heard when speaking with them is the family culture you've created. That was the word over and over again. They said it's a competitive family, but that it is still a family first and foremost. And, again, we sort of alluded to it, but you have guys from your first season, 1985, here. You have guys from your final season here this weekend as well. Yeah. To see the generational commitment – again, what does that say about your program?
Well, I mean, it. You know, I don't think I set out to make it a part of the program, to be honest. I mean, I just enjoy the connections with the players. So, you know, that's selfish, I guess. I don't know. I call it whatever you want. But I had a lot of fun with them, and they know that. Some are probably laughing. Depends on what decade you came in on, and I don't know what other stories you heard. But
we'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get to this.
Oh no! Okay. All right. So, but you know, we had a lot of fun with them, and why they enjoyed their experience here, I think it just had a lot to do with those connections again, and family. Yeah, we felt like a family. I don't know if we really set out to make that the goal, but we wanted to make sure it was fun because, hey, retention is an important thing. Any coach should know that, you know. Yeah. If everything is so monotonous and unfun and, you know, is unfun a right word?
I was
going to
say the other word we got a lot of was fun. That was repeatedly. It was a family. It was fun. And I was like, do you need a third F? Like, what are you guys looking for? Yeah, it was half of a good time, but that was what we heard repeatedly.
You know, and I think that's an ingredient you need to create family.
Yeah.
Now, there needs to be some loyalty to each other, and, you know, and some had to learn that a little bit on the way, because you got some, you know, hey, independent, you know, kind of, I want to say selfish, but, you know, we're all growing up, and they learn to help support each other, you know, and what a beautiful thing, you know, when they learn that and are good teammates, support each other, you know, and carry those kind of values where, you know, you can trust your teammate, which, you know, those are all the things you got to have.
Yeah, right? I know, absolutely. And with that in mind, let's wind the clock back a little bit. 1985, I'm negative 10 years old. That'll make you feel very good. But look at, again, you are fresh out of an all-conference career at Ball State. And I'm sure you're trying to figure out, well, you know, what is Jim Doherty going to do with his life? If I'd have told you in 1985, 35 years of coaching at Valparaiso, now you're also, of course, teaching here as well, but 35 years, does that number come as a shock to you?
Yeah. No, I really was – it was just a temporary job, you know. I came in and you know, it was – I want to say it's tough at the beginning because I had some fun. I had some great guys back then. But the early guys were all in fraternities, and that's not a bad thing. But they knew how to party and party hard. So it was for me to jump into that situation. You know, they broke me in pretty well.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, we all made it work, and everything was easy after that. No. Yeah, so going back in 85, I need to grow my hair out so I can think about this.
Were the courts still located? You can see them behind us. Some day soon to be Jim Doherty courts, but, you know, where was the initial facility?
Well, the initial facility was right behind the football field.
Oh,
and it was
fun.
So close to the football field, they used to kick field goals into the courts. And, you know, I think it wasn't until my assistant got hit with the ball that, you know, we're, you know, I don't know, and the players that we're like, okay, we know we're going to take a back seat here, but someone's got to put a net up behind those posts. But, yeah, and those courts, you know, were, cracked and, you know, so it wasn't on dirt, but,
it gets the job done.
Yeah,
and I know I was going to say, looking back, 1988 Conference Coach of the Year, 1999 Conference Coach of the Year. We're going to get to the 16-17 teams, 2016-2017, that obviously won conference titles as well. But was that 88 Conference Coach of the Year, is that just because you got the guys out of the frat house onto the court? You know, what goes into that? And,
you know
you're those first 5 years, because I feel like five-year blocks is always a good way to look at it, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about the development process. I'm fascinated.
Well, it, you know, wasn't about, you know, not having, you know, non-partiers or anything.
Course,
I think that's an element of every college kid, right?
Yeah.
I mean, realistically. But, we did go from near the bottom of the conference and, you know, that I think it was 88. I mean, I don't know. The first year I got Coach of the Year, we finished third. So I was surprised. I was like, I'm really surprised. But all the coaches were like, we can't believe that you guys, we really advanced that year. And so that's kind of, you know, we didn't win conferences, and that rarely happens that I know of, that you get named Coach of the Year when you're not winning conference. But it was nice that the other coaches recognized the amount of improvement we were making. And so that was a real tribute to the guys. You know, they put the hard work in, and I was just along for the ride.
Yeah, no, this is where you might get mad at me. I have my first story, a little bit of dirt for you. I hear sometimes in those early days on the road, it was soup and salad Sundays, where it's, look, hey, you know, come on, guys, we're trying to get, you know, work on budget here. And, of course, look, it's a mid-major program, and I think that must have been the most challenging thing at first as well, just trying to acclimate to that environment. So coaches out there listening to this who will look and say, well, 35 years of Valparaiso, how do I try to replicate that success? Are those the sacrifices? Again, what are the little things that you sustained during that time?
I mean, that wasn't a design sacrifice at all, obviously, because the things that a coach tries to hide from is the players.
Yeah.
And you don't want to say, we're on a shoestring budget here. But there becomes telltale signs of that.
Yeah.
You know, they don't understand that, you know, when I get back and I've gone over budget, I'm getting my ear chewed out or something. And so it was rough, you know. But, you know, the guys had to buy their own shoes and string their own racket. I mean, it was – those are tough days, you know, four to a hotel room. You know, so, did I want to do that? No, but – yeah, there were times where I was the pressure of that was there, and thank God it got better.
I was going to say, it, clearly you did something right? As people kept coming, and then we get towards late 90s, early 2000s. I'm going to butcher their last names, but Nate and Nick, who set seemingly every record for the program at that time.
Yeah.
What was clicking? What allows you to take that jump? It felt like early 2000s to where now you're constantly competing for Horizon League titles.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Nate, you know, when you're combining doubles teams, you never know sometimes. You try different combinations and something clicks in, and you're like, good, we got them locked in, and then you're trying to lock in tumbler two and three. But, you know, part of it's luck. You know, Nick was a state champ, I think, or, you know, up high, if I recall. Nate was a walk-on and, you know, and became conference player of the year. So, you know, I didn't, you know, he got better, but he was just a natural athlete. So I lucked out with him. So, I mean, there's some luck that comes in play. And there are some... you know, I think going back to the connections and the camaraderie, all that has to take place in order for the team to want to work hard and enjoy the whole experience. Without that, you don't win championships. So, yeah, you know, and it makes it a little easier to recruit when you're doing better.
Sure.
You know, no one wants to join a losing program unless you can convince them that it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. And I'm curious for you, because, again, whether it's negotiating the budget, whether it's getting recruiting to where you want it to be, when would you say, you don't have to give me a specific season, but how long did it take you to find your footing? It does feel like college tennis is a space where, you know, again, whether it's recruiting your guys or just finding out what it takes to be a coach day in, day out, it sometimes does take a little bit longer. Did it take you a little longer, take you a little shorter? You know, when did you feel like you finally had control and command of the Valpo program?
Yeah. Well, I don't think I definitely did not at the beginning. I mean, as a USPTA certified professional, I knew technique, but navigating through team stuff and, you know, group huddles and that, I was really nervous at times. You know, you lose a close doubles point, you bring everyone together, and you're trying to tell them that the ship hasn't gone down, we're going to win this, when you're pissed because we blew that, you know.
Exactly.
Like, but, you know.
No, that's exactly what I was looking for, because it does take time for any coach to just feel like they have command of that huddle.
Say. So, it evolved over time. But now, this is going to be a strange answer nobody will ever know.
Okay.
So they needed someone to teach coaching theory.
Okay.
And they, I'll try it, you know. So I'm, like, learning it as I go along, and I'm like, uh-oh, I don't do this. I don't do that. You know, so I'm, like, trying this, trying that, you know, building team camaraderie. You're not supposed to say this. You're supposed to say that. I'm like, oh, gosh. So that helped me evolve, too, and learn a lot from the players, too. I mean, feedback. But I think, you know, as I got teaching and combining, but again, textbook isn't going to teach you everything.
Sure.
Sometimes it doesn't work that way, obviously, you know, but you keep trying different things. But, Yeah, I don't know. You know, I wasn't always good at everything. You know, when certain assistant coaches came in, they brought their strengths that really vaulted our program to different levels. So it wasn't just Coach Doherty.
Sure.
It was assistants who could bring in some of the strengths that I you know, I don't have.
Except for Woodson, of course.
Except for Mike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But
I think he's an I don't know what kind of program he got into.
I'm curious, though, because obviously yourself and you see Coach Woodson come from there. You can tape back Coaches Boland and Bresky. They came from mid-major schools as well. What is it about mid-major tennis? It does feel like those who play mid-major tennis, I'm curious if you've seen this as well, have a passion for it. Because when you're playing a Division I sport, a high level, you can make the case to anyone, go play tennis at Duke, right? Like, not a tough sell job.
Yeah.
To get a player to commit to their 4 years through in Valpo, sometimes five as well, it does feel like that reflects the passion, right?
Yeah.
I do think there's a passion to mid-major college tennis that you just don't see at other conferences or levels.
Yeah. You make a great point. I do see that pattern too, and I've never thought about that. But my thought is there. You know, in the mid-major, the players are going to be maybe a little rough around the edges and haven't fully developed and not burn out yet.
Yeah.
Where at the higher levels, they've had a ton of tennis, and that they're just, you know, the pressures are bigger. But at this mid-major level, you know, you got hungry people who want to improve, and there's a lot more improvement and development that takes place. So, you know, I think, you know, that's enjoyable as a coach. You know, there's nothing worse than being on a court with someone who isn't trying or doesn't care.
Sure.
Or, you know, I don't encounter running across that. So, I mean, it made me love my job, love the game.
And if you don't mind me saying, I think I've seen that enthusiasm trickle down to your former players. It's why they're so excited to be. It has nothing to do with you, but exactly. No. Again, we've got a ceremony for you coming up, so I don't want to take up too much more of your time. But I do want to run through some highlights because I went through the record books. I feel pretty well equipped to talk Valpo tennis with you here, and I can't not do it before we let you go. That 98-99-2000, is that when you felt like program really started to hit its stride? Nick, Nate, the results start to pick up as well. That was really where it was like, we are here.
Yeah, and all the signs were there because it wasn't just matches. It were tournaments. These guys were breaking through and beating some of the big programs and really, you know, breaking through in different ways. And I could see the confidence growing in them as they went along. So, you know, I see people filing in here. I'm trying to get distracted.
No, me too as well. They're
happening.
Here for you. Exactly.
Yeah, no,
so I got to.
So, but, during those period of time, and that's what led up to the first championship in 2002, and we were just teetering on that during those years. So we were always hovering at the top, you know, one, two, or three, and then finally broke through 2002.
Yeah.
And as you know, success, you know, breeds success.
Of course.
And we got on that, and you want to hold on and not let it go. So we were able to recruit and develop players and good people.
Absolutely. Again, last two questions for you. 16, 17, you go back-to-back. When did you know that group was special? Because I know they were a young group. I know a lot of them came in together.
Yeah. Well, they were, you know, you're looking at four or five-star recruits. So,
yeah.
I mean, you knew, like, Woodson. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if we can... Oh, yeah, we're getting right in there with them. You know, we're talking about Big Ten, you know, and the Big East and all those guys. No, Coach, we're getting right in there. So he gets a lot of credit for changing the mindset for that. But I think we were like, okay, let's give it a try, you know. And we helped refine our mission for our program and things that we want to accomplish and – we started individuals as well as team practices, and so we didn't lie about it either. We produced, and so as we sold the program more, became more organized, and again, good help, really good help. really made the difference. So, yeah, we brought in some good players, but it's kind of like you bring in one good player, and all of a sudden everyone's like, you got so-and-so.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm aboard.
Absolutely.
You know, and they all want to be a part of a winning program.
And with that in mind, my final question for you, the most important question I'll ask all day, you get to replay one. Charlie and Jeff in that quarterfinal of NCAAs or Northwestern first round match. You guys dropped that match 4-1 2016. I feel like you guys could have won that. I feel like you play that match 10 times, you guys win it at least twice. Like that, that's one I circle. Which do you pick? Or is there another match from your tenure?
Wow.
Yeah. Serious questions
you
here.
You have
at the
done
end.
Your homework.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that Coach will reel about a little bit. But. You know, yeah, we were much more, we were in that match with Northwestern, and, you know, there was a tight match.
Yeah.
And we thought if we can swing, I won't give any names.
Jeffrey.
I mean, no, if we can swing this one match, because the other guys were coming back in the second set. So it was exciting, and we were like, and Northwestern, when you're a, when you're favored to win, you're feeling more of the pressure.
That Zaba, so, Shropshire, Kirkheim, that was a really good team,
very,
too.
Oh, very, very good team. And so I was really proud. The guys, really proud of the guys. And we were just hoping we could swing that. And, you know, they fought really hard. And, you know, I don't feel like it's one that got away from us. It just, and kind of like the quarterfinal match. Yeah, they just came down to this high break at the very end, you know, 11-9 in the third, you know. Or so, but they won their share of those, too.
Exactly.
And I, you know, when they went to the finals of the indoor nationals, they had match points against them, and those guys, unbelievable, would just turn it up a notch, you know. So, they're extremely confident, and I'm so proud of them and all the players, really. They always had that great attitude, work ethic.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, again, something we are really proud of is to be associated with this coach, because, sincerely, not enough is made about the commitment from people like you who offer, you know, again, a program like Valparaiso. It's not going to win every headline, but there are countless players all here this weekend who clearly thoroughly enjoyed their time and will always remember their college tennis experience, and a lot of that has to do with you. So thank you so much for having us here this
you,
weekend.
Well, thank you, Alex. You know, it's wonderful that you take the time to come here and promote college tennis. It's, you know, really needed, and it's a great sport. I hope, you know, that we can get, you know, the momentum improving in that area there. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a great experience, and I know I appreciate you being in the wings with all of us.
It is our pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. Coach Jim Doherty.
Hope all of you enjoyed my conversation with former Valpo men's and women's tennis head coach Jim Doherty. A huge thank you to Coach, Coach's wife, the entire Valpo tennis alumni base for embracing us throughout the course of the weekend, for being willing to participate in all of the fun gimmicks we had planned for Coach Doherty to, again, help celebrate what has been a fantastic career in college tennis. If you are interested in learning more about those retirement ceremony festivities, hop on over to our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel. You can see all of the speeches from the alums. You can see, obviously, our highlights from throughout the day as well. And again, I can only hope there are other college programs throughout the country who have the sort of strong base, just that familial connection that clearly exists within the Valpo men's tennis program. That's what college tennis is all about, building those bonds, building those connections, building that broader family for the rest of a player's life. And it's quite clear that was the word that kept coming up for Coach Doherty. Family, family, family. That is what he has built at Valpo. And while there will no longer be a Valpo men's tennis team, at least in the immediate future, there is no denying what Coach Doherty has accomplished, what he did for so many throughout his tenure. So again, a thank you to him for taking the time to chat. A thank you to the entire Valpo alumni for having us there throughout the weekend. And again, if you are interested in learning more about the event, hop on over to our Cracked Rackets YouTube channel. But of course, this is not the only Cracked interview we have on the feed here this week. We were also joined by another former coach in the college tennis ranks, former NCAA singles finalist as well, Lau Valverde, joining the show. to geek out with me about some mid-2000s, early 2010 college tennis, to talk about what it's like to go from player to coach and all the rest in between. Of course, it is a fantastic conversation. All of you listeners I know will enjoy, and you can find here on this podcast feed. Of course, Indian Wells content has been the theme of our mini break and Great Shot podcast feeds, GSP Aces of the Day, each and every day on that Great Shot podcast feed, recaps of each day's action on the mini break podcast feed as well. If you have missed out on any of it, you can catch up on it all on our website, crackrackets.com. Of course, if you need the more immediate updates, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, we are at crackrackets. You want to message me directly, I am at Great Shot Pod. A shout out, as always, to our super producers, Max Fleener and Daniel Westoff, for the of an editing job they do day in, day out. Shout out as well to our friends over at Tennis Point. Remember, it's tennis-point.com. The promo code is CR15. With all of that said, for our fantastic guest, Coach Jim Doherty, our super producers, Fleegner and Westoff, our friends over at Tennis Point, from all of us here at both Cracked Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You've been listening to another edition of the Cracked Interviews Podcast. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll talk to you all soon. Thanks, everyone.